Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In working our way through Romans chapter 14, which is a very important chapter regarding how Christians are to relate one to another in the body of Christ and how we are to treat things that are non-essential to the Christian faith, we come to these interesting verses in verses 16 and 17 that say, "Therefore do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." The kingdom of God is, and we'll talk about what it is first, it is number one, righteousness, number peace, and number three, joy in the Holy Spirit. This is obviously not everything that the kingdom of God is, but this would be the most essential manifestations, evidences of the kingdom of God. And what are they? Number one, righteousness. Well, that's basic Christian morality. There is, bottom line, essential Christian behavior, isn't there? We've been talking about that, and this makes reference to it. This is what the kingdom of God is. It is righteousness. How do you define righteousness? Only one way to define it, and that's by the Word of God. The Bible tells us what is righteous and what is unrighteous, and the kingdom of God is righteousness. It consists of righteousness. If there is not a manifestation of righteousness, then there is not a manifestation of the kingdom of God. But secondly, it is peace. And that means peaceful relations between believers. We're not doing very well with that one. Unfortunately, we're not doing very well with the first one in most of what is called Christianity today. And we're not doing very well with the second one in most of Christianity today because there is a lot of feuding and arguing and bickering and disagreeing going on. And there's nothing wrong with disagreeing if we will disagree in the right spirit and the right way. You've heard it said that we ought to be able to disagree agreeably. And that has to do with the way we go about it, the way we approach disagreements and handle differences and address them and talk about them and work them out. And we ought to be able to do it in a Christ-honoring way. We don't argue and fuss and fight about them, and we don't refuse to deal with them. That's the way a lot of people deal with differences. They just turn their back and walk away. Won't have anything to do with you. Goodbye. Sorry. Slam the door. That's it. I don't like what you said. I don't like what questions you're asking. So I just won't have anything more to do with you. Well, just remember, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy is the third one in the Holy Spirit. A joyful spirit energized by the Holy Spirit of God ought to characterize the kingdom of God. Now, please note an implication here. The kingdom of God is virtually the same as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking here about how to relate to one another in the church. That's the way the chapter opened. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. That is, receive them into your church, into your Christian fellowship, writing to the church at Rome. Receive brothers in Christ into your church fellowship, into your church membership, and then all these instructions about how to relate to one another in the body of Christ. And then we say in verse 16, "Therefore do not let your good be spoken of as evil." And we've already seen that means don't let the exercise of your Christian liberty be done in such a way that it turns out creating harm to the testimony of Christ and to the welfare of your Christian brother, for, and it does not say, for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace, enjoying the Holy Ghost, though Paul could have said that. The Holy Spirit could have directed him to say that, and that would have meant the same thing, and that would obviously reflect exactly what you find in the chapter, but he says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It is not what you eat or don't drink. It's not what you eat or don't eat. It's not what you drink or don't drink, referring to the dietary differences that existed among Christians. That's not the essence of the kingdom of God. And we shouldn't make that a major thing. We shouldn't be all consumed about that and concerned about that. We shouldn't be divided over that. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness. Now, of course, to some people, with their misunderstanding of Scripture, some people would think what you eat is a matter of righteousness. If you are following the Mosaic dietary law or some other restricted dietary law that you are following because you think that this is what God requires, then, of course, you think it is a matter of righteousness. So here's another way of saying that it's not. Paul is helping us here, categorizing eating and drinking as a matter non-essential. Because this is not what the kingdom of God is made up of. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Eating and drinking is placed again and again throughout this chapter in the category of things non-essential. There are matters essential. There are matters non-essential. You need to understand which are which, what are what, how to relate to each one properly. Essential matters, you've got to treat as essential. Non-essential matters, you've got to treat as non-essential. And you better know from the Word of God how to respond to each category of items, to know which list they belong to, and then to act accordingly. Because you don't treat the things that are on the list of essential items the same way that you treat things that are on the list of non-essential items. Essential items, you treat as essential. You can't have a church unless you are observing those things which are essential. You can't maintain a God-honoring church membership unless you are enforcing those things which are essential. But on the things, in regard to the things that are on the list of non-essential, you don't treat them as if they are essential. You treat them differently. And this chapter is telling us how to do that. And the kingdom of God, again, kingdom of God, synonymous with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and local churches as the individual local expressions of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For, he goes on to say in verse 18, he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. He who serves Christ in these things, what things? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. So those things that pertain to righteousness, basic Christian morality, basic Christian conduct as defined by the Bible, those things which promote peace between believers, and those things which maintain, augment and maintain joy, energized by the Holy Spirit, those are the things that are pleasing to God. And these are those things which best represent Christ before men. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved before men. Now, not always in the eyes of that weak brother who doesn't understand these things and thinks that You've got to restrict your Christian liberty in a way that meets his approval if you're going to really be righteous and approved by God and approved by men. But weak Christian brothers need to be patiently, lovingly instructed differently. But undoubtedly, in the case of mature believers, as well as in the eyes of the world, outsiders, these would be the men in view here, those who conduct themselves along these lines, Christians, who manifest righteousness, as defined by the Bible, basic essential Christian conduct, and maintain peace between believers, and live joyfully in the light of God's grace to us and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to our hearts, those who conduct their Christianity that way are acceptable to God, that's the main thing, and will be approved by men. Most men will recognize those kinds of Christians as being the genuine article. And those weaker brothers who don't understand that will when they mature. So we come to verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Because the kingdom of God does not consist of eating and drinking, but rather righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, let's pursue those things that promote peace. Righteousness is assumed. He doesn't say pursue those things that promote righteousness, but righteousness is assumed and non-negotiable. Its external maintenance is clearly prescribed in the Bible. And joy is an emotional response to truth and to the peace and unity of the church, and as such cannot appropriately be pursued and promoted in and of itself. But peace is the condition of Christ's kingdom upon earth that is most affected by our individual attitudes and actions. And this is where we should concentrate most of our practical efforts, in building up one another through peaceful interactions and encouragement. Because that's so foundational to properly understood biblical Christianity, that's what we need to work on. And if the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, and if he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men, then let us, verse 19, pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify or build up another. In other words, don't tear down the work of God by your bickering and by your divisions over things non-essential. That's the bottom line here. That's what we're driving at here. That's the whole point here. Don't divide the church of Christ. Don't weaken the testimony of Christ before the world. Don't weaken your Christian brother by getting all worked up over things non-essential. Let those things go and concentrate upon the things which are essential, that is, true biblical righteousness, and the things which make for peace. You've got to work at it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.